right, let's turn our attention now to SA Express. At least four companies that are owed millions by SA Express have approached the courts asking for the state-owned carrier now to be placed either under business rescue or to be liquidated so they can try and get some of their money back. SA Express was supposed to say that they were going to oppose or not the application. They've said they will be opposing it. They say they haven't received the application yet. SA Express, it's been around since 1994, and it, if you're not aware, it kind of runs routes within South Africa. It also runs routes, you know, across the continent. It's separate to SAA, but both of them fall under the Department of Public Enterprises. SAA itself obviously still under business rescue since December. So what happens if SA Express follows them? Let's talk to the director for Mazars Recovery and Restructuring, Justine Hoppe, who is an expert on business rescue. Justine, thanks so much for your time.
Good afternoon, Melanie. Thanks for having me on the show, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Let's start with SA Express's financial situation. It's technically insolvent. And if I read off some of these numbers, then you can kind of say, you know, how you, what the prospect perhaps of business rescue would be. A loss of 591 million in 2018-2019, two bailouts, 300 million and then 1.2 billion. It hasn't tabled its financials to Parliament for 2 years. Is that a case for business rescue or liquidation?
Those are certainly big numbers, Melanie. It's an interesting question. I think the difficult thing for many people to wrap their heads around is that whether you're technically or factually insolvent, it's not in of itself a bar to business rescue. So to your point, it's whether or not business rescue is appropriate, or whether alternatively it should just simply sort of skip straight over that process, go straight into liquidation. I think from my perspective, the fundamental question as to whether or not you should pursue business rescue and not simply go straight into liquidation is almost without fail, first and foremost, the ability to fund the rescue proceedings as well as the continued operations of the company. And as we've seen in the recent media reports in the SAA rescue, funding is, you know, to put it mildly, problematic. Mm. Large companies, particularly SOEs, already have huge operational overheads and are usually at the point when they apply for rescue or when one of their creditors, as is the case now, applies for rescue. They're already running well short of cash, and it's not as though business rescue doesn't bring with it a whole nother layer of costs. So that, I think, is where you start, and you would then take it from there. Each one obviously has its pros and cons, but I think you don't even get out of the starting blocks when it comes to business rescue unless you can propose with some degree of clarity how you envisage funding the near to interim sort of overhead costs that you're going to incur.
Which, of course, is what SAA is facing. $2 billion from lenders, but we're not quite sure where the other $2 billion is going to come from.
Correct. And it wobbles as soon as those numbers aren't coming in, because as we know from the media reports in SAA, the monthly costs are exceedingly high. And even if you get the interim, what we call post-commencement funding, you run through that money incredibly quickly. So, you know, you find that you're not even sort of 6 to 8 weeks into your rescue and you're immediately scrambling around for further cash injections, which I think becomes more and more difficult to procure as the process sort of unfolds.
SA Express is kind of fighting back against these claims, saying that the one supplier, particularly Ziegler, which is a transport and logistics company, which is owed 11.3 million, saying that they're under an internal investigation around procurement processes. How much of an influence do internal processes have on the court?
Yes, I think we've seen, anyone who's done a bit of reading in the last couple of days, or since Friday's news broke as to the application, will have read that SA has been incredibly vocal about its views on Ziegler and the contract, and it's been a pains to point out that it's under investigation. I think that said, what I haven't seen, which I think is quite interesting, is I haven't seen a denial as to the amount owed. There's been a lot of talk as to the procurement of the contract. So for the purposes of a court application, Ziegler needs to be an affected party as defined by Chapter 6 of the Companies Act in order to have legal standing before the court. One of the basket of affected parties would be a creditor. So the question for me is, are they in a position to adequately establish that they have the appropriate standing to present the application to the court? And unless SA Express can bring very material evidence before the court to attack that. I don't think that the criticism as to the internal proceedings and the possible sort of untoward procurement is going to really have any bearing at this stage. Once they're an affected party, they may bring the application. And then the question for the court to decide becomes somewhat separated from that initial question as to standing. It becomes about whether the company is financially distressed, which I think seems fairly evident, whether or not it has failed to pay any amount that is related to employment, or whether it is simply just and equitable to grant the order and allow the business rescue proceedings to commence. And I very much doubt that the court is going to get drawn into ancillary debate, because in any event, it's something that the business rescue practitioner, once appointed, could very well pursue and investigate. It's not going to change the status of Ziegler's so-called claim. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, but I would imagine the court will allow the application to be heard.
And SAA and SAA Express have a strategic alliance. How would the one affect the other? How would SAA Express potentially going into business rescue have any bearing on SAA, or wouldn't it?
It's an interesting question. You spoke to it a little bit earlier. I think for many people, they might not understand or realize that the two are completely separate entities. Although ultimately government is the shareholder, they are and operate as independent entities. But they do have this strategic alliance, and they are what they call, you know, they're part of a partner alliance. So I think that there is a symbiotic relationship between the two. And while I'm not an aviation expert, there were some things that I was thinking about a bit earlier that I thought would be quite interesting. So one of the things is whether within the marketplace there wouldn't be at least a notional knock-on for SAA, to the extent that the perception is SAA, SAA Express, sort of one and the same thing. If I'm flying to Georgia, flying to Joburg, what's the difference? And I think to that point, where it becomes a little bit more of a sore point for SAA, is that the front end of the operations is run by SAA. So if you book a ticket, you can book it via the SAA website. So if you are just the man in the street booking a flight, I don't know that you're particularly interested as to how it all works on the back end. So if it all sort of falls down on the SAA Express side, they would at least be on a plain reading of the situation, some kind of reputational knock-on for SAA. And I think the other thing that's quite interesting is, if one assumes that SAA Express relies on SAA to any extent operationally, and I would imagine that they possibly do, given that SAA is considerably bigger and has been around a lot longer, then that is a revenue stream that would dry up to the extent that SAA Express disappears. Of course, it also assumes that SAA Express is paying for any of those services as things stand. But I think that if I had to just simply look at it at first glance, I'm not sure that SAA needs SAA Express to continue, but may, you know, there may be some perceived negative fallout if SAA Express were to fall away and those routes weren't picked up by SAA. And I suppose that works both ways, in that SAA Express, to the extent that it relies on SAA for anything, be it front end consumer facing skills, or whether it be operational stuff that sits slightly behind that, I would imagine SAA Express would feel SAA disappearing off the landscape insofar as it would have to fill that gap.
Justine Hoppe, always a pleasure. Director for Mazars Recovery and Restructuring.